Amen. You may be seated. Wednesday night I preached on out of this chapter. I preached verses 9 through 15 about our church. And after service, someone come to me and said, you know, you should have preached that on Sunday. That would have been a good Sunday message. I said, don't worry about it. I've got the Sunday message out of the same chapter coming. Amen. And God is not done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is one of those chapters that's just filled with so much that God has for us. If we was to outline the chapter, you could outline it as the following outline I got here. Is verses 1 to 11, our duty to our testimony. And verses 12 to 13, a duty to those that serve. In verses 14 and 15, a duty to others. In verses 16 and 18, a duty to self. In verses 19 to 22, a duty to truth. And in verses 23 to 24, a duty to sanctification. And verses 25 to 28, a duty to the brethren. There's so much here that we are instructed to do. We're instructed for as the church. But I want to focus this morning on verses 19 through 22. The things that the Bible tells us that we need to be sure of ourselves that we do, that we don't quench and we don't hinder the preaching of the Word of God. We don't hinder the purpose of our getting together, the purpose of our services to worship the Lord. And I want to preach to you this morning on this thought that don't be the problem. Have you ever seen them commercials? Don't be this or don't be that, or don't be Jane or don't be John. People do stupid stuff and don't be them. I want to encourage you this morning. Don't be the problem. Amen. Every church has problems. If you're looking for a perfect church, just give it up because you're not going to find one. All churches have problems. Amen. But I can encourage you in this. Don't be the problem. Amen. And I can tell you how not to be the problem. It's to follow God's word. Amen. I want to preach to you on some things here this morning that the Bible expressly tells us that if we will do these, it will keep us from being the problem in the worship service and in the worship hour. In verse number 19, he says, quench not the spirit. Don't hinder the presence of God. As we was in Sunday school this morning, we started right off with that. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. You know, so many people come into the house of God. They come into the worship hour. They come to church, and they don't come in the Spirit. Amen. They don't come ready to worship. They don't come focused on worship. They don't come focusing on letting God have his way. And they're a hindrance to the Spirit of being able to move freely and being able to do freely what he wants to do in the service. Amen. The Bible says, don't quench the Spirit. We can quench the Spirit very carefully when we have our minds set on other things. You've quenched the Spirit. When you're worried about where you're going to eat dinner before you even got through the singing part of the service, you've done quenched the Spirit. If you're worried about how long the preacher's going to preach before he ever started preaching, you've done quenched the Spirit. Amen. If you're worried about the baby that's fidgeting around you, or the little ones, the toddlers that might be playing around you that you're not accustomed to having around you, and you're focusing on them and you're worried about them, you can quench the Spirit. Amen. I want you to know something this morning. If God's going to move in our hearts and in our lives, if God's going to move in our church, we've got to quit quenching the Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit is important. The first mention of the Spirit is in the book of Genesis. In the very beginning, as God is laying the foundations of the universe into place. The Bible says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You want to learn how important something is, study it in your Bible, go all the way back to the very beginning. And in the very beginning, we see the presence of the Spirit of God in this world. And that should tell us just how important the Spirit is. Man, we need the Spirit in our lives to direct us and to move us and to guide us. We need the Spirit in this world to bring conviction to hearts and to lives that can otherwise not be touched and be reached. You know, I'm not the Spirit. I'm just a messenger. Amen? You're not the Spirit. You're just to be a messenger. It's our duty to tell people about the good news. It's the Spirit of God that deals with the hearts and effects change. Matter of fact, it's the Spirit that ought to fill our hearts and the voice that we have. The very last words of David, as they said the last words of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. He says, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. It should be our desire that we be filled so much with the Spirit of God that everything we do and everything we say just speaks the truth of God's word and speaks the truth according to God's will, speaks the truth according to God's desire. It should be our desire to be led by the Spirit, and we can't be led by the Spirit if we're quenching the Spirit. Amen. John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Well, when he got in the Spirit on the Lord's day and he got focused on the Lord and got focused on worship and got focused on the things of the Spirit, the things of above and not the things of this earth, when he got focused on where his mind needed to be focused and was in the Spirit, he heard a great voice and he turned around and he seen something that he'd never seen before. He seen Jesus like he'd never seen him. He experienced Jesus like he'd never experienced. Man, we've come to church and we say, well, the church wasn't much this morning. Well, why? Anytime we come to the house of God, it doesn't matter who the preacher is. Amen? If we come in the Spirit and the Lord shows up, it's going to be a great service. Amen? It's going to be a great time. I'll tell you what, we need to get our focus on him. We need to get our mind settled around him. We need to quit saying, well, I can't understand and I can't comprehend and I can't do this and I can't do that. You can't do anything in and of yourself, but you can if you let the Spirit of God have his free course and free reign. You quit quenching the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, Apostle Paul says, Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You know why you come to the house of God and you got your mind on everything else and you leave and you say, well, I didn't get anything out of that service? It's because you wasn't focused on the things of the Spirit of God. But you got into the spirit of the world. Spirit of God will teach us the things that we need to know, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We want to hear some great swelling words. We want to hear somebody that has some great education and speaks to us in a manner that we think we're worthy. And they speak all these big words and you leave and you don't understand any more than you did when you come in because you're all wrapped up in the man. You're all wrapped up in the world. You're all wrapped up in the things that make the world excited and make the world get all giddy-headed and go crazy. And you've missed the things of the Spirit. Because you're looking for the things of man. Man, I'd rather have the things of God in simplicity than the things of this world in all its depth and complexity, void of the Spirit of God. Which things also speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches in spirit, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. It's important for us to get in the Spirit. It's important for us to seek the Spirit. It's important to be taught by the Spirit. It's important that the Spirit of God have His will and His way in everything that we do, and give place unto Him, that His Word and His Spirit might dwell within us, and teach us and direct us, and guide us into all truth and all things, that we through Him, by Him, and in Him might know what it is that He'd have us to do. We might worship Him the way that He wants us to worship. I don't know how to do everything He wants me to do, but I can pray for His guidance, I can pray for His direction, and I can let Him have His will and His way. Quench not the Spirit through the Spirit that God deals with the natural realm. When we quench the Spirit, we're hindering what God is wanting to do. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't be the problem. Amen? Purpose in your heart, before you even darken the doors of this church, this meeting house, this assembly, that you're coming, that God might do something in your heart and in your life. God might speak and minister those things that you stand in need of. I don't know about you, but I'm a needy person. The psalmist says, I'm poor and needy. But Lord, you care about me. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't have it all figured out yet. Amen. I don't know about you, but I haven't accomplished it all yet. I don't know about you, but I'm just like the psalmist. I'm poor and needy, and I'm glad the Lord cares about me, and I'm glad He'll speak to me. I'm glad He'll teach me. I'm glad He'll guide me, and I'm glad He'll show me if I just seek for Him to do so. Quench not the Spirit. Then in verse number 20, he says, despise not prophesying. Don't hinder the preaching. Amen. We've got to the place where we don't want to be preached to anymore. We want to be talked to. We don't have speakers in our church. We have preachers. Amen. God didn't call us to speak. He called us to preach. People say, well, you don't need to get so loud about it, and you don't need to get so animated about it, and you don't need to get so this about it, and so undignified about it. I don't know. My mandate came from God. Just like the prophet Isaiah, back in Isaiah 58, the prophet heard the word of God tell him to cry aloud and spare not, and lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and tell my people about their problems. Amen. That's paraphrased. Go back and read it. That's exactly what it says. Tell my people Israel. Tell Jacob. That's Bible preaching. That's Spirit preaching. That's the way it is to be done. You know why we don't want to hear it? Because it gets through our thick heads to our hard hearts. You know, we got to come to the realization that we're not all that in a bag of potato chips like we think we are. Amen? Sometimes we think far, far better of ourselves than we really are. And we fail to realize what it is. You know what? I sit under preaching. I like to hear good preachers. I like to hear preachers that preach. Amen? And I like to sit under preachers that preach. And when I sit under good preaching, I sit under hard preaching, you know what? God convicts my heart and my soul too. I've got convicted by my own preaching. Hallelujah. Amen. Be preaching something and God just convict my heart of something to preach. God's word has always been despised. From the very beginning, you go back when God told Adam in the garden there in Genesis chapter 2, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And what did man do? He despised the word of God. He despised the instruction of God. And he done what he wanted to do anyway. And what did it do? It caused a problem in his life, a tremendous problem, because God said, in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. He died spiritually. He died physically. He died in every way that a man could die. But praise God, I'm thankful for his grace and his mercy that stopped by and visited man there in the garden and showed man that in the error of his way, God was still true. God was still faithful. From the very beginning, man has despised. Everybody thinks the pastor is some kind of revered individual in the church. Sometimes you're the most despised individual in the church. Sometimes when people get mad at the church, they take it out on they can be mad at Adam, and they'll take it out on the pastor. Why? Because he's the one that's preaching. Adam made him mad, and the preacher agreed with Adam because Adam was speaking truth. And he's double the problem. Everybody goes everywhere looking for a better preacher. You want a better preacher? Pray for the one you got. People crack me up, man. You can see them, they just jump from church to church to church to church to church to church to church. Every 2 or 3 years, they're in another church. Why? Not a problem with all their churches. If you're looking for the perfect church, you're not going to find one. And if you do find one, as soon as you get there, you'll destroy it. Amen? We need to see ourselves for who we really are. Needing God's instruction. Needing God's. God gave his word in the garden. God sent Noah to preach to the Andalusian world. For 120 years that man preached righteousness. He preached repentance. He preached deliverance. And his preaching was despised. God sent the prophets among the world to tell them. He sent the prophets among his people to tell them. And their preaching was despised. Old Jeremiah, every time he turned around, found himself in trouble. They locked him up. They threw him in the pit. They done everything they could. As Jesus is praying over Jerusalem, he speaks these words. That upon you might come the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Bacharias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Why did they slay him? Because he was preaching truth. He was despised. When Jeremiah couldn't even get to the king to tell the king what the word of God said. He wrote down what the word of God said, and he had his servant, his helper, deliver unto the king the words which God spoke. And it was so despised that as the king would read it, as he would read a portion of it, he took his penknife and he'd cut it off and he'd throw it in the fire. He says, despise not the prophesying. Man has always rejected God's word. Man has always rejected what God is trying to do and what God is trying to say and how God wants to move. We're always rejecting everything that God gives and everything that God does because it's not what we want to hear. We despise the preaching of the Word of God when we fail to listen to it. We despise the preaching of the Word of God when our attitude toward the messenger changes. In 2 Corinthians, Paul was addressing this. as they criticized everything that he preached, and they even criticized how he spoke and how he talked. And he said, and they speak of my contemptible speech. We hear a message we don't want to hear that convicts our hearts. We blame the preacher for meddling. It's none of his business. You know, sometimes being a damned situation, some people get mad at you because you inquire as to what's happening in their lives. You're concerned. So you reach out and you ask, is everything all right? You haven't been there in a while, or I have missed you, and this or that. And they get mad. Well, it's none of your business. It's none of your business. So then you say, well, maybe I better draw back and I better let off. And the next one says, well, why didn't you come and check it? You don't care. You can't win. Trust me. Trust me, we've been there. I told folks on Wednesday night, my wife got hollered at one day after service because she hadn't called and checked on a woman who was having trouble in her marriage. Her and her husband were having trouble. But my lads, we had no clue. Had no clue. Took her to task because she hadn't called her and hadn't checked up on her, and she's having all this marriage. I don't sit around in the corner of your house. I don't have mice hid in your houses listening to everything you say that sneak back and tell me everything that's going on. I don't have an Elijah as the king of Assyria was trying to chase old Elijah down. He said, how come it is every time I get ready to attack, something happens? And they say, well, God tells Elijah your plans that you make in your bedroom. I don't have him telling me that. I don't have him directing me in your lives individually. Sometimes he burdens me about things that are going on. But if you got a problem, come and talk to us. Don't get mad at us. Amen. We're just trying to do what God wants us to do. We're just trying to preach and to teach and to do what God has us to do. As a matter of fact, two-thirds of my job, two-thirds of my biblical instruction and direction are things you don't want to hear anywhere. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Two-thirds of my ministry are the things that you don't want to hear. But you know what? God knows they're the things that you need to hear. And you get mad at the messenger because he preaches what God has laid on his heart. You don't come to church. You don't hunger for the word of God because we've got to spend two-thirds of our time dealing with the sin that's in your life. And it breaks our heart. You preach about sin, what sin's going to do. You see people go out and they go back and get right back into sin. They're going to wallow right back into the hog lots that they come out of. And then they wonder why their lives aren't changing. Well, it's the preaching. It's the preacher. Despise not the prophesying. You despise it when you despise the messenger. You despise it when you reject the message. You despise it when you don't esteem it for what it really is. For it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. It didn't please God by the foolishness of singing. It's not about the singing service. Amen? I'm preaching you the word this morning. If you get mad, you get mad. Alright? But ain't no need to get mad because you just got to get glad all over again. Amen. It pleased God not by a drama team and not by a worship team and not by the choir and not by the special singing and the special singers. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which are lost. Amen. Man, if we would get our spirit right, where the man of God could preach right, we see God doing more work in individuals' lives. But the preacher's got to spend so much time reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Preacher's got to spend so much time getting the church straightened out that it's hard for individuals who are lost to get their lives straightened out. The only thing that can straighten anybody out, see, the preacher can't do it. I'm just preaching about the one that can. I can't save anybody, but I'll preach to you about the one that can. Amen. I can't be there every hour of every day in the midst of all your troubles, but I can preach to you and tell you about the one that can. I can't tell you that I'm some exemplary example that you should look up to. I'm nothing but an old speck of dirt, a man that didn't deserve anything but to be in hell with my back broke. And praise God, He saved me one day. He changed me one day. He made a difference in me one day. Why? Not because of who I am or what I've done, but because of Him, all because of Him. And the only thing that I can brag on, the only thing that I can boast in, the only thing that I got to tell you that's worth telling and worth sharing with you is that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He saved an old speck of dirt, an old sinner like me. Praise His name. He saved me one day. He changed me one day. He called me one day to preach His gospel. And praise God, I want you to know something. He still saves. He still changes. He still makes a difference in lives. It will turn loose and let Him. And praise God, I can exhort you in that. He's good. He's good. Oh, what a difference. Oh, what a difference He makes. Don't hinder the Spirit. Don't despise the prophesying. Don't despise the preaching. He says in verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Don't hinder the truth. Prove all things. Man, I got a lot of people that can tell me all about what this preacher said and that preacher said, this preacher did and this preacher did, and they can't tell me a thing in the word, in the world about what the Word says. I venture to say a great deal of you can't tell me why you believe what you say you believe. Number one is you don't spend enough time under the preaching and teaching of God's Word. We got classes here to accommodate anybody. Amen. Our adult Sunday school class has grown tremendously. Brother Jim, we're trying to get ready to print some books in the study we're doing in Revelation. And I think we counted 36 this morning. Sometimes I've seen in our ledger some Sundays we've had over 40 in the adult Sunday school class. Why? Because we're just simply teaching the Word of God. We teach it in down-to-earth, basically. We're not in a hurry. My folks today, some weeks if we get one verse, we get through one verse, we've done a lot. Amen. But you know what? When we come out of a book, I guarantee I can go back to the people that sat in this class. And the biggest part of them that were paying attention and tell you what they learned. And tell you what they seen. And tell you what they found that was so much different. Why? Because we studied the Word of God. The folks that come to church and are faithful on Sunday night and Wednesday night to sit under the preaching of the Word of God and to worship God. For greater, deeper, stronger understanding. They're the ones whose faith holds when tragedy strikes and the world isn't fair and the world isn't looking their way. Why? Because they've been preached to about the faithfulness of God. They've been taught about the faithfulness of God. They found that in the fire, Jesus will show up. When the Hebrew children were cast in the fiery furnace, it didn't say that they didn't have to go through the furnace. They went through the furnace, but praise God, in the midst of the fire, Jesus showed up. Amen. The disciples in the midst of the storm. found that Jesus was right there, and when they had Jesus, they had enough. The Bible said the boat was filled with water, but it hadn't sunk. Why? Because Jesus was on board. Amen. It's the individuals that sit under this preaching and teaching and grasp these concepts of God's Word that can stand faithful because they have proved all things, and they hold fast to the truths and that which is good, and they don't let go of it. They don't let the world change them. They don't let the world move them. They don't let the world convince them otherwise. Proven means to ensure that the things that you hear, the things that you think, and the things that you are saying that you believe aligned with the Word of God. Prove all things. Don't take my word for it. Take the Word of God for it. Amen. So I just can't understand that Bible, Pastor. It's just too hard to understand. The Bible done told us that you can't understand all things. It's spiritually discerned. But John tells us when we're taught things, we need to try the spirits, whether they are of God. Man, when you're sitting under preaching and things aren't ringing true, the Spirit of God will tell you. Amen. When you see somebody on TV, they're teaching something and it don't align with the Word of God, the Spirit of God will tell you. Some things just have to be spiritually discerned. When you're not sure, you're not listening. But then he tells us, not only are they spiritually discerned, they're scripturally discerned. Jesus, as he's praying, this is the Lord's prayer in John chapter 17. This is the Lord praying unto his Father, not the pattern prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. He just given us an example of how to pray. But in John chapter 17, Jesus is pouring his heart out to his Father right before Gethsemane, right before Calvary, right before the crucifixion and the suffering that he's going to go through. And this is what he says in John 17:17. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. I don't care what Dr. So-and-so says. Does it align with what does say the Word of God? I don't care what preacher so-and-so says. Does it fall in line with exactly what the Word of God says? You say, well, preacher, how can I know this preacher says this and this preacher says that? This preacher tells me that if I'm a child of God, I'll never be sick and I should be rich. And I say, see what the Word of God says. See how the Spirit of God directs your heart. Pastor, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. Prove it. Prayerfully. Prove it scripturally. Prove it by study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Open your Bible and read. Let God direct you. We have an obligation to seek out truth. And the only way we can perpetuate truth, the only way we can preach truth, the only way we can share truth, and the only way we can live truth is to seek it out. The truth is, we all think well of ourselves. But the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that do good. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're just a bunch of no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low-down, worthless sinners that deserve to be in hell with you back from. That's who you are. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of the Lindsay brothers. Anybody ever heard them sing? Love to hear the Lindsay brothers. Caleb Lindsay was And ain't nobody ever looked at a mud puddle. I said, man, just look at that mud puddle. Ain't that the most beautiful thing you've ever seen? After a storm. So you look up at the sky. Say, look at that sky. Look how beautiful it is. Look how glorious it is. You see, we're just mud puddle. Nothing nice, nothing pretty about our sin. But when we look up, where the rain came from, we begin to see the beauty. We begin to see the difference. Jesus said, if I be lifted, draw all men. If we stop looking at ourselves and start looking at Him, no matter what kind of beauty you might have thought you would see in the world, you start looking at Jesus. He was how filthy and nasty and dirty the world. So when you look at that, when you look at Jesus, you see the difference. Sufferings. The one who was beaten beyond recognition, the Bible says his visage was marred more than any man. He was like a hunk of meat. And he hung on that old roof. How wondrous it is. How marvelous a thing it is. Behold the one who suffered and died. An old speck of dirt. An old mud. I know love. When I read the Word of God, I read where man has hindered the Spirit of God. I read where man has despised the Word of God. But I also read where every time that man had sinned, God had made a way. God had made provision for restoration. You see, the story of the Bible is a story of restoration. From Genesis to Revelation, it's a God restoring man back to the place that he had fallen from. And when you prove the Word of God, when you prove His truth, find it's unerring in its description. You find it's unerring in everything that He said, that He began with it. And you can realize it's unerring. And what He said is about to come. And what's getting ready to happen. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Don't hinder the truth. Abstain from all appearance. If this Spirit of God ministered to your heart, if the Word of God has been preached to you in truth, and if you've grasped those things, God wants you to get a hold of Him. And you trusted Him as your Savior. Your life needs to be a testimony. Abstain from all appearance. Why? Because God's people are peculiar. Set apart from them. Why? Because God's people need to do things differently than the way the rest of the people. Why? But we're going. John 16:13. The Lord says that the Spirit would guide you in all truth. He guides you into all truth. He's going to guide you to abstain from all of things. He's going to protect your testimony, protect your witness, protect his reputation. God told Moses that I'm going to destroy all those people and I'm going to start all over. I'm going to use you and I'm going to start another people. Moses said, yeah, but what will they say about you? Abstain from all appearances of evil. The problem is we don't want to be led by the Spirit. We despise and we hinder the Spirit ministering in our church. We want to hinder the Spirit of dealing in our lives. We despise the preaching because it touches those nerves in our hearts and our lives that we don't want anybody near. It brings about the reality of who we are. We don't take time to prove things. He says, I think you don't believe. That's fine, you can think you don't believe whatever you want to. But if they don't fall in line with, they'll say the word of God, you'll find yourself thinking, feeling, and believing in the devil's hell one day. Because you failed to trust. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get a song. Christian friend, you are to abstain from all appearance. Is your life a witness and a testimony for that today? When people look at you, when people listen to you, when people follow you, does your life say, he's different? He's one of his. Let's stand on our feet this morning, head bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. I wonder this morning if there might be one here. Every head bowed, every eyes closed, there's no one looking around. This is a time, you, me, and the Lord, be honest enough to say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I've never let the Spirit speak to my heart. I just shut him out whenever I felt that still small voice speak. When I heard the preaching that I didn't like, I just tuned it out and shut it off. Preacher, I know I'm not saved. I know God died to save a sinner just like me. Preacher, I just want you to pray for me. I'm trying to find truth. I'm trying to figure it out. But just pray for me. I'm not going to come to you and embarrass you, point you out. I want to pray for you. You slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. You spoke to my heart this morning. I see that hand. You put it down. I'll be praying for you. He wants to save you. Simply because of who he is. He's a loving, a caring, a merciful, and a gracious God. We're not saved because we're good people. We're saved because of what he does. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, as any man should want. We're saved simply because of God's grace. And we trust him and we ask him to save. Would you come this morning while God's dealing with your heart? While God's ministering to you? Just grab someone nearby you and tell them to come and pray. He saves to the other people. He fills that emptiness and that belief that's missing in your life. He'll save you this morning if you ask him. He'll come. Christian friend, maybe you're here. And maybe you say, I've been the problem in my church. I haven't allowed the Spirit to have its work and I've hindered the Spirit. I've despised the preaching. I haven't studied to prove the Word. And I haven't abstained from all appearances of evil. Maybe you can raise your hand. Maybe you need to come. Maybe God spoke to you this morning. While God's dealing, will you acknowledge it? While God's dealing with you. If you're not here every time the doors are open, and you could be here, you're hindering, you're despising, and you're failing to prove all that. Maybe here this morning dealing with some problems in your life. and you just want me to pray for you. You want me to pray for the need that you have, and you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm dealing with something. I've seen that hand. Another this morning? Another? We're going to sing this morning. If God has spoken to your heart, if God is ministering to you right now, don't hinder the Spirit. Come, you didn't need to be saved. Don't hinder the Spirit. Why are you dealing? We don't have a promise. God said, my Spirit will not always drive him. Man, you don't have another promise, another opportunity, but you have the promise right now that if you'll trust him, he'll save. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll trust and believe, he'll save you. Christian friend, if you'll confess your sin, it's faithful and just to forgive this other sin, if you'll cleanse it from all unrighteousness, get your heart and mind right.
Page 183.
How about it this morning? As we sing.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole.
Amen. He'll save you this morning. He'll change you. He'll birth you into his family. He'll give you a hope of eternal life through Christ Jesus. That if you was to die, you can know that you know that you know. He shed his blood that he might wash you whiter than snow. Will you come this morning? Will you come this morning while he's dealing? While he's speaking? While he's ministering to your heart? To say, Jesus, save me. He will. He says, he will in no wise cast out any that come unto him. Any that the Father gives him. As he's ministering, as he's speaking this morning, will you come? Will you come? We'll bow here. We'll take the word of God. Show you how to be saved. How about it this morning?
And I shall be one.
I'm just a speck of dirt, but I was washed whiter than snow one day by the blood. I was a nothing and deserved nothing. But one day, because of the precious blood of Jesus, I was made an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. I was made an heir to eternal life in heaven. I was made an heir to all that glory had to offer. And you can too, if you'll come and trust him this morning. Will you come while he's dealing? Come while he's ministering. Come while he's speaking. Will you come? Just come.
I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, less whiter than snow. Wash and wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
I hate to close the service for God to be in. I feel like to leave here. You need to talk to someone. You're glad you came. How that you can know that you know that you know that you know. How that beyond a shadow of a doubt you can have peace. The path is all understanding. Peace is world peace. He wants to say to this one, please let him. He wants to change. Please let him. Look, Jonathan Ratzinger, listen.